We are closing a series today, a mini-series, where we've talked about success, sandwiched it with 4 weeks on heaven, and we're going to talk about another thematic message on success today. And the reason I wanted to put the 4 weeks on heaven between that is because, to me, the greatest success you and I will ever achieve is when we walk the streets of heaven and our children and our grandchildren who are mature in the faith and have said yes to Jesus are walking with us. That will give us a satisfaction that no success on this earth can match. But one of the things we have to realize as we go through this life is that even as believers, there are two ways that we can achieve success in this life, in our lives. Jesus says that one of these choices is called the broad path. It's a way that most people will take because it looks like it's the easiest way to achieve success, to get what we want. But in the end, Jesus said this broad path will lead to our destruction. Jesus then talked about a second path, a path that he called the narrow path. It's a road much less traveled because it appears far more difficult to walk, but in the end, it is the path which leads to abundant life and eternal life that each of us desire on this earth. And one thing's for sure, all of us must choose whether we will follow the broad path or the narrow path. And that's not just a choice we have to make once, as we did when we chose Jesus as Lord and Savior, but it's a choice that we make continually, because always in our lives we come to intersections where we can continue to take the narrow path or the broad path. What Jesus didn't talk about is that often our enemy offers us a third path to success, what he calls a shortcut. It's a shortcut to what God says is best for you and I. But like most shortcuts, they're not advertised as to what they really end up being in our life. Ask Jacob and George Donner if a shortcut to success was worth it. They organized a group of farmers and their families to go to California in April of 1846. Everything went well for those 81 people in the wagon train until they reached Fort Bridger, Wyoming. There they read a pamphlet written by Lensford Hastings, who claimed to have found a shortcut to California that led through Utah and Nevada. It said it would get them there faster, and it would get them there easier. Well, the 81 people in the Donner Party voted to take that shortcut. But they should have known better when they began to encounter delay after delay after delay. They had to cut their own trail through the mountains of Utah, which set them back over a month. West of Salt Lake, they encountered an 80-mile stretch of desert that almost did them in. By the time they finally did reach the Sierra Nevada mountains, they were so far behind schedule that when it started to snow, they were stuck in the mountains. And they had no place to go, and their food supplies were running out, and it was one of the worst recorded winters in history. Finally, not knowing what to do, the snow didn't let up. 15 men from the Donner Party attempted a 100-mile walk to Fort Sutter to get help. 7 of them made it to the fort alive. People in the fort responded and they tried to rescue the Donner Party, but the snow was so deep that the wagons they took with supplies could not get in, and so they transferred it to horses and mules, and they got to the stretch where even the horses and the mules could not make it, so they had to transport what food and supplies they could on their back. As a result, even the rescuers, by the time they got to the Donner Party, were themselves trapped, little to offer. In that hopeless situation, some of the Donner Party went mad. Some killed themselves, some resorted to murder, almost all resorted to cannibalism. Less than half of the original party survived to make it to California. And it was all because they chose to take a shortcut, a better trail, a false promise that proved nothing but pain and danger and destruction. Today, Satan wants each one of us and our families to take a shortcut to success and to become a modern-day Donner Party in our lives. Now, how does that happen? As we proceed along that narrow path that God has set before us, it is going to be difficult, more difficult than that broad path that the world takes. And there are going to be times when we look at the people on the broad path and we're going to think, why am I doing this? And just about that time, Satan's going to come along with a shortcut. And if we take it, the end result is going to be dangerous for you and us and our families. That's what happened to a modern-day story about a man in his 40s that Steve Farrar, one of my favorite authors, wrote about. He was successful in his business. He had a great wife and he had young children. He served on the board of his church. He was active in Promise Keepers. He was one of the small group leaders that led marriage studies in his church. He was on the narrow trail that God had marked out for him. But one day, while he was in a hotel room on a business trip, he took the first steps towards the shortcut. He started going to a gentleman's club on the road and took additional steps on that shortcut. He shocked everybody when he left his wife and family to live with a stripper. You know, the thing of it is, this man would never have left his wife and children in a blizzard to let them die, like what happened with Donna. But he devastated their lives just as surely when he chose to take that shortcut that started with a few drinks of Jack Daniels. Now, why would anyone in the world do that to themselves? Because they took a shortcut. And his story teaches us that we need to be on the alert at all times in our life, because there is always going to be that opportunity to take the shortcut. So how can we make sure that we stay on that narrow path? One way is for us to pray David's prayer in Psalm 19:13. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. That's an interesting phrase in Scripture. Presumptuous sins. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, but what's a presumptuous sin? Quite simply, it is a shortcut that defies God's specific commands for our life. It's a shortcut that says, God does not know what he's talking about in his word when he says, do not do this or do this. And so we do the opposite of what God has specifically commanded for in his word. It's when we want to do what we know is wrong. It's when we presume on God's grace because just this once, I'll do it because God will forgive me anyway. It's when we think we found a quicker route to something that'll make us happy, or something that'll put us ahead financially in the world. But one shortcut leads to another, and pretty soon we find ourselves trapped in the equivalent of that Donner Pass surrounded by our problems. Regardless of the path that we take in life, each of us has to take a path. And so the question simply becomes, what path are we going to take? Yes, that narrow path is going to appear more difficult, but when it does get difficult, that's precisely when we have to trust that God knows what He was doing in our life. Donna told me an interesting story over the weekend. A man was on his patio, and he was watching a cocoon that a butterfly was trying to emerge from. And he noticed that there was some struggle within the cocoon for about 5 or 10 or whatever minutes, and then there was nothing for about an hour. And so the man thought, I'm going to help that butterfly. And he cut the cocoon very carefully so the butterfly could get loose. But the butterfly was distorted, and its wings weren't developed. And it fell and died. Why? Because it's in the cocoon, when the butterfly struggles the most, that it loses the liquid in its body and transfers that liquid so that the liquid develops the wings, so that when that cocoon finally breaks open, the butterfly can fly. Well-meaning intention, tragic results. And doesn't that describe many of our efforts in this life when we choose not to include God? Well-meaning intentions. And it doesn't just happen once. It happens often. Consider some examples. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, in eternity past, Satan did not agree with God's way of doing things. And so he offered the angels a shortcut. And he said, you can really have what you want if you just allow me to lead you. And Satan was so influential that 1/3 of the angels followed him in that shortcut. As a result, they were thrown to the serpent and became demons. Satan did the same thing in the Garden of Eden when man was created. God had given Adam and Eve very clear and specific commands to obey. They could enjoy the entire creation with one minor exception. So Satan used that exception to say, God really doesn't. He really doesn't have his best intentions for you. If you just eat of the apple, you'll see what God wanted for you all along. All of us have been paid the price for that work. How about David? One night he took a shortcut with one of his soldiers' wives. That shortcut led to adultery and pregnancy. And then to cover his tracks, he called the husband home from war, and that ended up in the husband being murdered. David took a shortcut, but it ended up in the death destruction of his kingdom, in the loss of his family, in the rebellion of his children against him. And that's just how Satan is. He sold the angels on a shortcut. He sold David on a shortcut. He sold Adam and Eve on a shortcut. And he tries to sell each of us on that shortcut as well. Maybe some of us have taken it. Just leave your spouse. You'll find true happiness with someone else. You know, if just this once you don't tell the whole truth, that'll make you look a little bit better. You know, if you just compromise in this area at work, you'll get that contract that you really want. You know, you don't have to have that relationship. Why? You can look at pictures of other women and pretend it's your wife. you know, if you just choose to live together rather than waiting for God, man, you'll find that that moral or ethical or spiritual temptation short. Remember that Scripture says that Satan is the father of lies, and that shortcut would probably be a lie. So when we walk with God, let's those shortcuts come, but let's handle it the same way Jesus did when Satan offered Jesus shortcuts. We find those in Matthew 4, that after Jesus was baptized, immediately the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And after going 40 days without food, Jesus was hungry. Don't you love how the Scripture understates things at times? Most of us can't imagine 4 hours or 40 hours without food, much less 40 days. When Jesus was the weakest he could possibly be, the most vulnerable to taking a shortcut, Satan offered him not one, but three different shortcuts. Shortcut number one, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he, referring to Jesus, answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that we from the mouth of God." Shortcut number two, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, his angels, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus responded, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God." So Satan went to shortcut number three. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you." But he really had the power to do so. "If you fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him." Jesus' experience teaches us that there's another word to these shortcuts, and it's a word that we would normally recognize is called temptation. And so what was the shortcut that was offered to Jesus? Simply for Jesus to use his divinity to take care of himself. And what would be so wrong with that? "If you are the Son of Man, command that these stones become bread." Oh, sure, I can do that. I'm the Son of Man. That would have been one way to appeal to Jesus. And so how did Jesus stay on that narrow path? Warren Wiersbe answered that important question this way. He said, "Jesus did not use his divine power or his divinity to overcome the enemy, because that is just what the enemy wanted him to do. Instead, Jesus used the same spiritual resources that are available to you and I today. He used the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God." Now, if you think about what Wiersbe is telling us, when Satan offers us those shortcuts that we call temptation, we have the same ability to withstand them as was given to Jesus. And isn't that great? Because how many of us have the divinity of the Son of God? Anybody here raise your hand? But how many of us have the power within us of the Holy Spirit of God? I think everyone can and should raise our hand. How many of us have access to the power of the Word of God and all of its promises? We have that. Every resource Jesus had to withstand temptation and shortcuts is the same resources you and I have been given as believers in Jesus. that's we can have the discipline to stay on the narrow path when temptation persists. The only thing we can count on in this life is that we have a choice to make as to what path we are going to stay on for the rest of our life. Satan's going to come along time and time again. He's going to offer us that when we're exhausted and vulnerable, when we're drained and demoralized, when we've let ourselves go without spiritual food for days on end, when our resources are limited. So recognize not only the temptation, but what it leads to. How many of you know? Well, you may know the Bible is the best-selling book in history. But how many of you know what the second best-selling book is called? Pilgrim's Progress. It was written by John Bunyan. And Pilgrim is about a man named Christian who is making his journey along the narrow path that led to eternity. At one point in the book, just as Christian encounters the hill called difficulty, comes this hill, and it's a very difficult hill. He comes across two other paths, one path to the left and one path to the right, and they both appear to be much easier. If you go on in the book, those two shortcuts are called the Trail to Danger and the Trail to Destruction. If God laid three paths before you this morning, and one was clearly labeled danger to the left, and one was clearly labeled destruction to the right, and the middle path was difficulty, which one would you take? How many of you would say, oh, I want to be in danger? Oh, no, I want to be destroyed. No. It's going to be difficult. It is that difficult that God wants to heal. It is at difficult times that God says, you can have my resources, you can have my strength, you can have my comfort, you can have my closeness, you can have my presence. And he makes us go through those difficult times. I don't know how many of you have taken a shortcut in your car, or if you're taking a shortcut right now. Max Okada, the preacher of an area church, has a great way of talking about God. He refers to God as the God of the second chance. Because God will not reject us when we take a shortcut, but he will offer us the way to. In our life, chances are, as believers, there will be many shortcuts we can take. But God, in his grace and his patience and his love, always guides us back if we are willing to walk along that path. This morning, as we talk about the country being free, let us realize the freedom we are living is found on that narrow. We can remember, and if we can remember that true freedom is found in Christ, then no matter what happens to this country, we and the generations that follow will have a chance to experience the truth. Father, we thank you that you not only offer us salvation, and that you not only offer us heaven, but in our time on this earth between salvation and heaven, you are with us. You strengthen us, you guide us, you give us the opportunity to be with you, to call you friends. Father, for anyone who is taking a shortcut this morning, for anyone who is suffering the consequences of taking that shortcut, may we find the strength and courage to turn back to you, to repent, and ask your wisdom and guidance to where we should be. For those of us who are walking the narrow path, give us the wisdom and the inspiration to recognize the shortcut for what it is and stay on the path you have called us to. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country, but we thank you even more for the freedom we have in this country. In Son's name. I know that most of you here today in a worship service when you could be gone on a 4th of July weekend probably believe in Jesus. But we're going to offer an invitation. You have not accepted that opportunity to have with Christ as Lord and Savior of life to be baptized and walk as He has asked you to walk. We're going to offer you that chance. Jeff and Rachel are going to come forward and lead us in that time of invitation.